Welcome to the Affordable Freedom Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Hune. Our mission is to help you gain your freedom from the exhausting, never-ending corporate rat race. Because time is our most valuable asset. And life's just too short to do work we hate. Thanks for slowing down. All right, welcome to the Affordable Freedom Podcast, friends. Our guest today is someone I'm really grateful to have met. His name's Matt Doan, and he's someone that has both inspired me and provided me with tactical mentorship that I think has made me a better leader. I've participated in his coaching program, and I'll say this, if you want a coach that isn't afraid to call you out on your bullshit, will help you create unwavering discipline and help you shatter every last limiting belief you have so you can finally wake up from the corporate nightmare once and for all, which I have to add doesn't mean quitting your job, and we'll get into that in a minute. But if you want to live a life, the life that you're truly meant to live, I'm not sure there's a more qualified coach out there. So Matt, thanks for coming on today.
That is one of the most endearing compliments I've ever received. So thank you so much. I'm grateful.
Well, I meant every word of it, man. I appreciate our friendship.
Same.
So, Matt, a phrase that you use often is graduating from corporate. And this really resonates with me because that's exactly how I feel about my experience leaving corporate. At first, and you know this, Matt, at first I was really resentful and like I hated corporate with a passion. And I guess I still do from a moral and philosophical standpoint, but now I look back and I'm more grateful for the time that I spent there and the advantages, you know, that it's given me in my new life of entrepreneurship. So to start off, can you delve into this topic a little deeper and explain what this means to you and maybe some insights into how the listeners can prepare to graduate from corporate themselves?
Yeah. So let me first state that I will never be in the game of bashing anything outright, especially corporate. Corporate was so good to me. Not to say I didn't experience a ton of pains, but looking back, man, how else would I have gained this financial foothold, these team leadership abilities, seeing the world, a financial foundation for my family, perspective on what I liked and didn't like. It was beautiful. I got to do some amazing things. Of course, I got the frequent flyer status and all that, took my family in different parts around the world. Don't miss that so much anymore. It's okay. But it gave me a lot. And I'm so blessed and grateful to have had that experience. It did a lot, set a foundation for my life. But as I mentioned, it gave me perspective on what I valued and what I didn't value, essentially my goals and my anti-goals in life. And as I got further into that journey, I spent 15 total years in corporate, mostly in management consulting. And I'll talk about the break from that and how I graduated, to use that terminology. But I just want to say, I think it's very dangerous to hate on that environment in general, to say, let's go escape from it. Screw the 9-to-5. Because what you're doing there is saying, this thing is bad. I am going to cast shade on it. I am not going to like it, to appreciate it. And what you're losing for yourself is the ability to leverage it, to use it as a tool. Sure, you might mentally not want to be in a corporate environment anymore. I checked out years before I left. I checked out 5 years before I left. I stayed my last 5 years on my own terms. But ultimately, I learned to view it as a tool, as something that could be an investor in my life. Your audience will realize how good to have an investor in your pocket to build a foundation for something you value. And rather than saying, screw it, this sucks, I developed a healthy relationship with the job, with the environment. I appreciated it and learned to manipulate it to my terms. So when I say graduate corporate, I knew mentally I was done with it. Many of my clients say, I'm done. Okay. Well, how do we just merely turn it into a tool, an investor in our life, and smartly yet aggressively graduate from it rather than let it control us anymore? So when I think about graduating corporate, first off, who am I speaking to? Generally, I'm speaking to someone that's 15 plus years into their life in the corporate world, right? They've got generally a family, maybe a couple kids, deluxe lifestyle to care for, and they've had a lot of success on paper, but ultimately they don't feel fulfilled anymore. And I know you felt this way too. You know what I'm talking about. But ultimately you want something more, to use your gifts in a different way. And while the paycheck is good, the benefits are great, you feel like it's completely illogical or crazy to leave this environment. You're still done. And that feeling of being done and not liking it anymore only worsens. The longer you try to force it, the more the pain goes. So you have to intervene. You have to do something about it. So when we graduate corporate, there are three big steps to do this smartly and aggressively, which is important. We don't want to take forever. Number one, once you realize you're in that state, first, we turn corporate on autopilot. This is a set of strategies and mindsets to reclaim your precious time and energy from your job. So, great example. Most people are saying yes to all the meetings, all of the invites that end up on their calendar, all of that. And what it does is makes you say yes by default. It consumes all your time and energy. Now, when you learn to methodically choose your own schedule instead, say, I'm doing these things, not those things, and you decline a lot of the default stuff, most of my clients reclaim 30 to 50% of their time within 3 to 4 weeks. Now, could you imagine how much life gets better when you've got a demanding job and you've quickly reclaimed 30 to 50% of your time just by making a few different changes to how you show up at work, being bold, setting boundaries, standards for yourself. And you learn to put the job on autopilot where the paycheck keeps coming, but it doesn't hurt as much anymore because you feel like you're in control and it's doing good for your life. And you know that it's not going to be your destiny forever. That's putting corporate on autopilot. So great strategies to apply there to free yourself up to be the right person you need to be at home for yourself. And if you're going to be an entrepreneur, which I advise doing, you have space now to go build something. That's number one.
So Matt, before you go on to number two there, what do you say to somebody who is listening to this and says, you know, that sounds great, saying no to all the meetings and everything. You know, even like optional meetings, which theoretically you should be able to just say no to, but so many people don't because they feel that's going to reflect poorly on them.
What do I say to that person? Fear is controlling you about bad things happening. It's a natural thought process where if we deviate from the norm and don't do what everybody else does, then I'm going to get in trouble. And what you start doing is running small experiments. Don't say decline everything all at once in 1 week. That might be too much and scare you and be too disruptive. But if you just push back on something or decline a certain meeting series or even question, do we need 8 a.m. standups? Can we turn this into a Slack session instead where we do things on our own time? Just a few little pushbacks and you think, well, nothing bad happened. In fact, life got better. In fact, everyone around me at work, their lives got better too. Maybe I'll run another small experiment the next week to be a little bit more bold, to create space, to question things that are put on my plate rather than just default to yes. So you run these little experiments, you gain confidence, you learn that bad things don't generally happen, and you're able to then not just spend all your time on fake work, but actually do real work now in a corporate environment.
And from your experience, I remember you saying not only did bad things not happen, but your superiors actually started to respect you even more because you were more guarded over your time, right?
There's a great book called The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. And Law 16 says, respect and honor goes up as you become more scarce. I'm paraphrasing that. But as you become harder to find, harder to reach, people perceive you as doing valuable things. Oh, Brian must be busy doing something important. He's not online with the green light on Slack 24 hours a day. He must be doing important things. So in their subconscious, they respect you more. But if you're always available, always responding, you're a commodity to them. You're like a robot. That is what our subconscious views. If you're always available, they don't value as much. But just like when you're chasing someone you want to date earlier in life, right? If they were always there, you wouldn't want them as much. But if they were hard to catch, playing hard to reach, like the same psychology is in play. And if you learn to bring that to your advantage, don't be there all the time. Make yourself scarce. Your value actually rises with people around you. And I'll tell you, many of my clients, when they make themselves more scarce, they're the ones who get more quickly promoted. They're the ones who get more respect and honor, and people perceive them differently. It's crazy how humans work.
So number one, put corporate on autopilot, baby steps, one step at a time until you gain more confidence. What's step number two?
activate your future self. Because when you close your eyes and you think about your dream, say it's a life 5 years into the future, and you're living this beautiful state where you're financially in control, comfortable, you're doing work that you love, you're making an impact, your loved ones are happy, healthy, you're connected, you're present, you're doing good in this world. We all have some version of that, I think, when we close our eyes. And when you think about that version of you several years down the road, that's a different identity, a different person running the show. It's a different version of you. So you need to just understand who that future self is and activate that person now. So if I think forward, what does that person think, feel, what do they do? And I bring that into the now, I can start behaving like that version of me that will exist in the future. This is identity programming. We use concepts from psychology and neuroscience to actually program beliefs in our mind to think, I'm going to be bolder, smarter, a risk taker now, so that I bring that life to manifest faster than it would otherwise. I hope this is clear enough, but when we activate our future self now, we can bring that life into fruition faster. But if we just let it unfold using our current behaviors, it's going to take forever, or it might not ever come. So we really need to become bolder, smarter, more assertive to be the person we need to at work, to build a business we love, to be the person we want to at home. Activate your future self now so that you can bring that life about faster.
Gotcha. So what did that look like for you? Or I know you work with many people who are going through this this transition. Can you give maybe an example of what it looked like for someone else?
Yeah. So a great example, his name is Vance. Vance went through a process where we looked 10 years into the future and said, milestone-wise, what does freedom look like from a time, purpose, health, financial perspective, 10 years? What are those characteristics? Then go backwards, closer to now, 5 years from now, 1 year from now, 30 days from now. And you look at the major milestones, the big leaps you're going to need to take in order to bring that life. You sketch it out and you start asking yourself, what are the very real actions I need to take to make that come to life? I call this a freedom blueprint. And when you sketch it out, you start to say, okay, what are my 30-day actions I need to take? Who do I need to be? What are the bold steps I need to take? How do I need to free up from a corporate job? How do I need to start turning on this new business? How do I need to start becoming healthier, sleep better, eat better, work out better so I can be a healthier person? So when you bring that to life, I remember Vance brought that to life in a hurry. And ultimately, he was able to say 30 days, I know what I need to do now in the next 30 days so that a year from now, I'm in a good place. And that gives me a chance 5 years from now, I'm in an even better place. And then 10 years from now, I'm living this ridiculously powerful life that's completely of my own design. That's just one tool that you use, but we have to attack it from multiple angles because your brain is going to want to keep you small, fearful, secure, doing safe things. And unless you dream and get specific and then commit to actions, you're never going to get there because you're going to stay safe.
Yeah. And once you do dream and get specific with actions, man, is that a motivator?
Yeah. And you need to connect to it every day. I'll give you a crazy example. So when I drop my three-year-old off to daycare every morning and I'm driving back home, I go through this, what I call a grateful visioning exercise, where I think 3 years into my future, I use that marker, and I think about how beautiful life is, what my career is like, the good I'm doing, what I'm creating for my family. And I talk about it out loud as though it exists. And I can imagine the people driving next to me must think I'm crazy, but I'm like, tears of gratitude, grateful for, I can't believe I have this life, the impact I'm making, the life I've created for my family, how I've opened their hearts and their eyes to what's possible, the good we're doing in this world, the movement we've made. My goodness, I am so grateful. I can't believe I've created this life. And I start to feel it in my body. You know, like when you get chemicals going through your body, like dopamine and such, you just feel amazing. You feel on fire. I do that intentionally every morning, so that the rest of the day I'm charged up. I'm actually on the right path. I've got like a GPS that's pulling me in that direction. I'm using neurochemistry to my advantage so that I take intelligent actions the rest of the day that bring that life into reality. So that's a small tactical thing. There's so many other tools you could use, but you've got to understand you're a chemical being and you're going to get thrown off left and right, chase shiny objects if you let yourself. So you've got to find ways to stay on course, targeted at something, connected to your dream. Use your mind and body and your heart to actually keep you there.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking notes here. The that part about envisioning it and pretending like it's actually a reality, that may sound very woo-woo to people, but man, that it's legit. I mean, I remember hearing about how Tiger Woods, like every time he stepped up before he struck the ball, he closed his eyes and he envisioned the shot exactly the way he wanted to drop it in. And sure enough, he did it more often than not. So there's certainly something to that.
Let me say this. I've actually invested over $150,000. I can't believe I say that, into coaching and masterminds and such over the years. And the number one thing, the most successful entrepreneurs I've ever met, it all boils down to that type of work. What most people will call woo-woo is actually mental programming, belief programming. And if you do not have belief, you won't do shit compared to what's possible. You won't do what's possible. You will never come close to scratching the surface of your potential if you don't program some wild beliefs in your head and live there ahead of time.
100%. 100%. Yeah, the psychological aspect of it, that mindset work. We were just talking before we hit record about how, you know, you were asking me how I'm doing, and I'm like, I'm doing great. It has nothing to do with the amount of money I'm making. It has to do with the way I feel and mentally where I'm at. You know, because I know that I'm in a place where I'm going to continue to be more and more productive, and the financial rewards are the residual of that. So, so step number three, we've got autopilot, then activate your future self. And then what's step number three?
Number three is what most people start with, and it's backwards, which is starting your entrepreneurial path. If you start immediately with, say, trying to build a business, which might be in your mind the vehicle for saving you from corporate hell. A lot of people say, I'm done with corporate. I'm going to build the business. I just need this idea. And once I have the idea, I'm going to execute it and life gets better. Money comes, and when money comes, I'm saved. No, no, no. If you skip one and two, you're screwed. One, you need space. You need to keep yourself safe. Keep your paycheck flowing. Don't do something stupid when you have a family. Keep the money coming. Free up time and energy in your life. And then have the room to go build something of your own. Number two, unless you activate your future self identity, someone that's bolder, more assertive, that will tackle fears and self-doubt. If you don't have that person steering the ship, you're screwed. Like, that is what it takes to succeed in entrepreneurship. You know very well, someone that's going to do some pretty daring, atypical things. So you need space. You need the paycheck. You need a new future self driving the show. Then and only then do we get into entrepreneurship. And I have a very specific form of entrepreneurship I advocate, which is build a business you love for active income. I see so much out there. Go get passive income started. Go get a small real estate portfolio. Buy a boring business. Start a franchise. Why are people doing that? Because it's an income play, and people think that income solves their pain. But no, their pain is so much deeper than needing money. Their pain is something where they are misaligned to what they're doing in life. Their values are being compromised. So you need to go build something you love and solve for money at the same time. Passive income streams, most people don't enjoy those at all. It drains the life out of them, and it takes forever for money to come their way, right? Those are long games. And I don't like jumping straight to that when you're in pain. I like building a business you love that can quickly build active income that excites you, where you feel alive, activated, energized, on fire every day. Could you imagine you've got a corporate job on autopilot? It's running in the background. It's feeding your family. It's funding your business. Then you build something you love, solving a problem in this world for people that you care for. And it's meaningful and transformative in their lives. I'm not saying go help people develop copywriting skills. I'm like, no, go save their marriage. Go save their financial future. Go get them out of a corporate existence of dominating their life. Solve their obesity challenges. Those are transformative, consequential problems that people must solve. They are not optional, like building a nice little technical skill on the side. And when you solve a problem like that, you're living in a state of purpose and gratitude and meaning. And when you feel on fire and your heart's connected to serving that person, you're going to do so much better work. They're going to feel it. They're going to be magnetically attracted to you. I call it a magnetic match. There's you and there's the person you're meant to serve in this world. And it should be so charged that they connect like magnets snapping together because you're excited to serve them. They're excited to work with you. And when you have that magnetism at play, everything works out. They do the work. You give them your best, whether it's a product or service, whatever it might be. You feel great about delivering. And of course, design all of this for leverage. Don't get back into a time for money game. I like thinking whatever you build, create it. So one unit of input creates 5 units of output, that model. And it's very possible so that you are not just getting back into some version of a rat race that's of your own creation. You got me on a soapbox. This is where I am so far.
So, you bring up something really interesting there to me as a financial planner is, you know, a lot of people chase that income, whether it's passive income or whatever it is, something that's not fulfilling, because it's, again, it's an income play, like you said, and a lot of times it can be a high income play, and they chase that out of this, well, you could call it greed, that they want the money right away and they don't want to work for it or wait for it. But I think it's just, it's like this fear that they're not going to have enough money. And when you do something like what you're describing, do something that you're just on, that sets you on fire. Like every morning you're pumped up to get out of bed and just get to work. You're never going to want to retire from that. So even if you're making less money, you're never going to stop and you're never going to have to withdraw from your retirement accounts. And those are just going to keep compounding and you're going to end up like Warren Buffett, where 90% of your wealth is accumulated after age 65.
Isn't that a beautiful thing, right? Where the notion of retirement is wiped from your mind and you just keep living in a state of joy doing work that feels like play to you. Like that is, I think, what we all want. We all know those stories where someone stops a formal working career and they're dead within 5 years because they've lost all purpose. Humans are meant to work, to be of service of some kind, whether that's being a parent caring for a sick loved one or doing work in the professional sense. There's work that needs to be done. And the moment you stop working is the moment your soul starts to die and the body shuts down and disease creeps in and all of that. So if you can make work feel like play and edge towards that over time and have faith that it absolutely is possible, life explodes in beautiful ways. And I think there's a reason your and I's energy is the way it is at this moment.
Yeah, this conversation is firing me up. I'm getting really passionate here and nobody is more passionate about the work they do than you, Matt. And you go as far as to say that you're actually saving people's lives. So can you talk about that a little bit and maybe share a story about how you're saving lives?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I speak to at least a dozen new folks every week that are struggling in their work life, and it's usually dominating their personal life, and it's pretty consequential. And there are times where people will say something like, Matt, if this continues, I don't know if I'll be here next year. It gets to that level of seriousness. I've had to refer people to hotlines, and it gets pretty crazy when you get to the depths of certain people's pains. And it's convinced me that whatever your pain is, I help people that are in corporate situations that it's tough. It's really tough. And it's stressing their marriage, their health, their sanity. And whether you're helping someone with that, maybe a dire financial situation, maybe a health situation, I think we as entrepreneurs, if we learn to view what we do as deeply consequential, and I view it as saving lives because I genuinely think I've saved a few lives so far. Talked people off the edge and brought them into the program, had them change their whole perspective of what work can be and therefore how they can view their lives. When I view it as saving lives, that gets me to show up with a different level of tenacity and fire and resolve that if I were just in it for money, I wouldn't bring to the table. But when I know I am saving lives, like a cancer surgeon or something to that effect, I bring a different version of me. I activate something inside of me that will fight for them. People that are too scared to invest in themselves and change their circumstance, I fight for them on the phone until they hang up on me. Because I know if I let them go, I know what happens. Their life gets worse in a hurry. They're fearful. They're scared. money seems like it's too much. The time commitment to solve the problem seems like too much. But what I see is their life is at stake. Their family's life is at stake. Kids might grow up without a dad. The family might be shattered apart. Income might go to crap because they lost their job because they were a low performer. There's all these things at stake. When I view it as saving lives, I think it's important to view it anything less than that is a disservice to the people who are in pain.
Yeah. I mean, talk about a deep sense of purpose there. You know, I've been in that pain in the past, and it was not necessarily my career. It was my relationship with my career. That's the thing is I've learned that I need to take ownership. You know, this wasn't just because of the companies I work for or the corporate culture. It was my relationship with my career. So, but I got to that point where, you know, hit rock bottom. Like my anxiety was off the charts. I got to a point where like I would lay in bed at night and think, man, it would be great if I didn't wake up in the morning, you know? So I can definitely relate to that. And I just have to imagine, you know, there's a lot of people out there, maybe they're not to that level, but if they stay on the path that they are right now and just these little dissatisfactions just continue to accumulate and compound over time, they'll eventually get to that point if they don't intervene. So, yeah, I wish I would have known you back then, Matt.
Man, if not for my mentors, the coaches and such that I'd brought into my world, I don't think I'd be here speaking to you right now. I don't know if I'd be on this planet. I was in a dark state, having gotten divorced, lost my health. I was burned out in every way. I didn't see my kids anymore. They got taken away. It was bad. But finding hope, finding help to help me see the light and actually navigate to this point where I feel like I'm on fire. Like I feel like I'm the best husband, dad, professional that I could ever be at this point in my life. And I know I'm only going to get better from here. But it took a lot of work facing my fears, self-doubt, investing in myself in ways that I never had before. But it's been everything to know that I can live on purpose and feel like I do every day. Like you and I were talking before, what's the ultimate goal of what we're trying to do on this planet? It's to feel a certain way, to earn money, to have a prestigious job, even to have kids. What do you want out of that? You want to feel proud. You want to feel joyful. You want to feel joy. Like you want to feel all these ease, feelings, these emotions in your body. That's why we do anything. And if you can program those feelings in your body every day intentionally, just imagine what you're going to do with the rest of your days. Every single day, every morning, I go through a ritual. It spends 90 minutes. It's a lot of work, but I love it. My morning ritual gets me so activated and so in tune for how to spend the day. To bypass it means I wouldn't be able to save lives. And what would that mean? That's terrible.
Yeah. So we're talking about a lot of negative feelings, negative emotions right now. And I think it's super important to acknowledge those feelings when you have them and do something about it and work through them. But then once you do work through them, one thing that I've learned from you, Matt, is let them go. Like focus on the positives. You know, when I was participating in your program, I remember at the beginning, I was so conditioned to talk about both gains and losses. But you prefer not to talk about losses with your clients. Instead, we always talked about gains and goals. So can you talk a little bit about the psychology behind this and how this can lead to better outcomes for people who are going through a big transformation?
Mm-hmm. One of the most important books that we all need to read is called The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy. Dan was actually one of my first coaches over 10 years ago. I met Ben through that program too, and it's been so transformative where anything in life, you can view your progress as far as a gain or a gap. So imagine you're starting a race and you see a finish line far into the future and you're running and you're looking ahead, but it still feels really far away. There's still this feeling of this gap and it's like, oh, I'm never going to get there. 25 more miles in this marathon. This sucks. Like, I don't feel like I'm making any progress. That's living in the gap between what you are right now and what you want into the future. Like, that is a hard place to live. Or you could say, look behind yourself. And Matt, look at all the progress you've made. I've already run 1 mile in the first 8 minutes. That's awesome. I was at the starting line 8 minutes ago. Then you look back. Oh, another 8 minutes have gone by. I've gone 2 miles. This is great. I'm on pace. I'm with the pack doing a great pace time right now. I'm on a personal record this whole thing. And when you imagine living in the gap, thinking about how far ahead your goals are, you're always going to feel frustrated. Your goalposts are always going to shift into the future. You're never going to reach them because your goals are always getting bigger and bigger. You're always going to feel like you're living in the gap. And that sucks. It's a negative emotions, going back to our talk earlier. But if you always reflect on the gains, even if you would call them failures, fail forward. I ran an experiment yesterday. I posted a new video. No one responded to it. Doesn't matter. I felt more comfortable on video. I'm going to do another one next week. I'm going to get a little bit stronger. I've got new muscle, new confidence in front of that video now, more articulate, all of that. So focusing on the gains is important because psychologically it says, I'm always winning. I'm always winning. And when you tell yourself, I'm always winning, good chemicals tell your body, you have good emotions, and then you're in a prime state to take on that day. And all life is a series of days, day after day after day. And if you always feel like you're winning, that's going to be a hell of a life. That's why we focus on gains. And then I like the goal focus too. Like, well, what am I going to accomplish in the next week to sustain momentum? That's it.
Yeah. I love that reframe there about failures. You know, just look at them as a learning experience. You know, you're making progress. Right. You're learning and you're making progress. And I think I was talking about this recently with a friend where when like life is a series of struggles, like it just is. Right. And when you can get to a point where there's joy in the struggle and like struggling actually brings happiness versus the outcome you're trying to achieve, bringing happiness, and you could just be proud of yourself every day. That's the place to be. I mean, that's where you get to a point where, you know, happiness truly does become a choice. And there's a lot of people that say happiness is a choice, but how do you get there? And I think that's how.
It is. There's a very simple loop that is the basis of cognitive behavioral therapy, the most popular form of therapeutic science in the US right now. And the whole loop goes like this: thoughts, feelings, actions. The thoughts in our mind that we program in, that we allow in, make us feel a certain way. And then we feel a certain way, we take inspired action. Everyone's focused on the action. Like, I'm going to build this business. I'm going to increase my following. I'm going to earn this much money. And you're focused on the action. What you're missing is that letting in the right thoughts create a certain set of feelings in your body. And then you're going to take positive or negative actions. So how are you programming in the right thoughts that create the right feelings that elicit the right actions in your physical reality? So what are you letting in your brain? Are you watching the news? Is that doing good for you? Are you wandering all over social media? Are you feeling jealous of all the people that are light years ahead of you? Are you always down on yourself for not succeeding because others are? Like, what are you allowing into your brain? Or are you being hyper-intentional, living in your journal, self-talk on walks, letting inspired conversations like this take place every single day? You're having peers, mentors that are in the same boat, lifting you up, bringing you to a better place. If those are the thoughts coming in, then you have the right feelings and actions that will correspond to the life you're actually trying to build. It's science at that level.
Yeah. Well, Matt, this has been a great conversation, man. It's always good talking with you. We're going to have the links in the show notes, but if people want to check out a little bit more about what you do and just get to know you a little bit better, where should they go?
Just head on over to MatthewDoan.com, and I'd encourage you to check out the free training. It's all over the website on multiple places. It's the whole idea of how do you graduate corporate methodically, safely for your family, but how do you do it with haste? So we go through all that. If it's intriguing to you, you'll find a way to book a call with us and talk about what it looks like to get started and make progress in your journey. But if you're in pain, let's solve for it. Don't let it fester. It only gets worse. Find the people like Brian in your world. They're going to inspire you and bring you to a better state. So grateful to be on the show again. Guest second time around. I feel so grateful to be here. Thank you, Brian.
Amen. Well, it's definitely appreciate you, Matt, and appreciate the work you're doing. It's so much needed out there today. So cheers, buddy.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for listening today. And if you have a moment, check out my website at reflectivewealth.com. Everything you need to know about my business is there. Because if there's one thing I've learned in my career, transparency and accountability are critical to a healthy financial services industry. Thanks and see you next time.